Christian Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. If you're joining us for the first time, we are journeying through the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 24. Let me frame where we are in order to understand Genesis chapter 24 more. Genesis chapter 24 is the longest chapter in the entire book of Genesis. In the last few weeks, we've looked at the life of Abraham as he transitions nearing his death. We're very, very close to that moment. But the significance of Abraham's life is you need to understand something about Abraham. Abraham did not have anyone to encourage him about his faith. There were no pastors, there were no disciples, there were no friends, there was no church. The world pretty much was either agnostic, atheistic, or were worshiping wood and stone and suns and all sorts of stuff. And Abraham had a word from God and believed that voice, the unseen God. And that took a journey from Genesis chapter 11 to 24, basically, where we are. And now at this junction, he's aged. He's about to die. And he realizes that God's promise was that this belief, this faith was going to be perpetuated. This faith was not going to end with him, that he was actually going to hand this off to the next generation. And if you don't understand the significance of that, you and I will not be sitting here today believing in Jesus Christ had not Abraham fulfilled that. That the baton was passed to the next generation, and from Isaac to Jacob, and from Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, from the 12 tribes of Israel down to the Jews and all over the world, and finally, the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the significance. 6,000 years of faith. I don't know if you understand that. That gives me tingles when I think about that. That this did not just start overnight, that this has been going on. It's been a handoff. Now, what happens next is that he's too old and he elects to find a servant among his people and sends this guy, he sends him out on a mission. Okay, so he sends him out on a mission. And the mission was that he was to find a wife for his son Isaac so that the descendants could be perpetuated. That was the idea. And I don't know if you understand how impossible this mission is, because one, in those days, he's not even sure if the relatives of Abraham were still alive. He just heard news that somebody gave birth, and none of this is known. There was no telecommunicator, there was no Morse code, there was no cell phone, there was no way of finding out. All of this was by faith. He's about to make this journey, and this story talks about, this segment of scripture talks about this faceless, literally nameless servant who's out on a mission with nothing more than the belief that what Abraham told him is true and that he was to find the wife for the son, and as a result of that they will have descendants, and those descendants will perpetuate the faith that Abraham had believed. The message I want to give to you this morning is the message of, what does it take to be that servant? What does it take to be that person on a mission? What do you need? Because ultimately, mission without God is going to fail. If you attempt to try anything for God with your own strength, it's going to fail. But there is this aspect where you're going to have to still make the journey. So what are the things that you need to have in order for God to be able to move in your life and see that mission accomplished? Genesis chapter 24, verse 2. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had. Notice, this is the oldest. This is the most senior. After Abraham, it's this guy. He has control. He's in charge of all he had. He knew all the bank accounts of Abraham. He knew where the golds were stolen. He knew everything. In other words, he's even more senior than Isaac, the heir apparent. Now, think about this. I don't know if you realize this. He could have betrayed Abraham. There's a number of things he could have done. He could have just killed Isaac and taken over all the riches, or he could have created a ruse. He could have get a fake girl and say, okay, this girl is supposed to be the descendant. He could have done anything. Some of you are probably shaking your head so fast. Is that the Bible? Well, that's mankind. That's humanity. The idea of betrayal is very possible. The classics tell us, from The Count of Monte Cristo to the present-day Korean telenovelas, that we all know that betrayal is very real. I mean, you just watch these things. Every week that you watch these things, it's like someone's getting betrayed. By the way, I don't watch these things. Yeah, just to be sure. I did read The Count of Monte Cristo. But the point in saying this is that betrayal is real. And probably one of the important traits that you have to have as a missionary for God or of God is this idea of being trustworthy. Jesus himself said, in context of being a steward, if any one of you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? The idea of being trustworthy. If we're to go into mission with God, it's the strength of God that will cause that. I'm on my way to New York to meet with our church there, and Frank is here. Where's Frank? Is he here? One of our ushers here is from our church in Philadelphia. And there he is, and I was just talking to our guys there, and they're saying our church there is a campus church. And apparently they finally crossed the 1,000 mark, apparently, of students. Maybe you guys are not aware of this. We're a mission church. We have 600 churches all over the world. We go out and not just preach good things. We go out and reach campus students. That's what we do. We reach students in university campuses. And my friend, who's Frank's friend, who actually connected Frank to me when Frank was on his way here, was telling me about this. And a lot of the strength we're going to do when we do mission is not our own. God goes before us, amen? I'm not going there on my own strength. But there's a level that I have to be there as trustworthy. Somebody who's not building his own empire. Somebody who's not trying to carve out his own niche. Somebody who's pushing the kingdom of God forward. And this is what this mission guy was doing. The first thing we need to have if we're going to go on a mission for God is to be trustworthy. The second thing we find in chapter 24, verse 12, he said, Lord, this is now the servant standing in the place where he had now journeyed for about a week. This is a long journey. O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success. There's a prayerfulness. If we're going to see a movement happen. If you're going to see God move in your life for any reason whatsoever, whether that's your marriage, your family, your children, your business, or really pushing the church forward, there's got to be this life of prayerfulness, an ability to seek God. The man could have gone there out of his own strength, but he knew that the mission was impossible. He knew that finding this woman was like finding a needle in a haystack. How do you find this girl? I don't even know what her name is. I don't even know her address. I don't even know what block number she lives in. I have no clue where she is. But prayer. Be prayerful. Seek God in everything. I've already, since this morning, actually I haven't even left Singapore, I'm already praying, God, go before me. God, prepare the way. When I get to the conference, there's going to be people from Africa, people from Bangladesh, people from all over the world. Our missionaries to Pakistan are going to be there. And there's going to be a lot of conversations. A lot of people are going to bring up stuff, and a lot of things are going to be brought up. And you can't do that without prayer. You can't do that out of your own strength. And by the way, that's not just for missions. That's for your life mission. Whatever it is you're doing, I pray that you learn how to dedicate that to God and trust Him. It says in verse 13, behold, I'm standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, it's getting late at night. They've been journeying. They arrive at this watering hole, somewhere near where the address of supposedly Nahor and Bethuel is, and they're parking their Range Rovers, their all-terrain vehicles, their 10 camels, and all of a sudden she's saying, I'm standing here and the women are about to come out. Traditionally, at this hour, women come out to provide drink and water things and water plants and all this stuff, and he's there. He's talking to God. He's having this conversation. He's praying. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And who shall say, drink and I will water your camels. Now, this guy's got a weird prayer. It's understandable when you say, God, I'm standing here with all of these and I'm waiting for you. A girl comes out. My prayer is that she will say, when I say, let me drink, she will offer me a drink, but she will not just offer me a drink. She'll go beyond offering me a drink, and she'll say, I will water all the camels. Are you following what I'm saying here? A I mean, this is a weird prayer, right? I mean, she's saying, okay, my prayer is that she will offer me water, but beyond that, my belief is that she will offer to water my camels. I don't know if you understand that. A week-long journey for camels means they've run out of water. The average camel, to fill that camel back up, is 20 gallons of water. If you have 10 camels, you're talking about 200 gallons of water. I don't know what this woman looks like. She might look like Arnold Schwarzenegger by this time. I don't understand that. I mean, this is prayer. He's saying, God, I'm believing you that this woman will offer me water. Beyond that, I'm believing that she's going to carry, if not 200 gallons of water, half of that. Back and forth, carry this water. In other words, he's saying, I don't just want a girl. I want a woman of character. I want someone who will go the distance. I want to make sure that when I hand this to the next generation, it actually is right. I don't just want to go on a mission and build and fulfill my role. I want to pass this right. I want to pass this right to the right people. Pastor Mark alluded to Rachel and Winjin's wedding yesterday, which we were, I think many of us were there, and it was amazing. It was just a good moment. And Rachel is one of our staff here. She grew up in this church, and beautiful girl. He's right. I mean, it was crazy. It's one of those rare moments where you see someone celebrating. Instead of celebrating, they're actually making you feel good. I felt so good that they were in our church. Wenjin's father walked up to me and just very, very thankful. And he was bragging about his son. He was bragging about the church. He said, my son became like that because of your mentorship. And I corrected him. I said, no. He was saying this in front of his friend. I said, no. Your son became like that because you fathered him. We helped him. It's passing on the next generation. It was lovely. Then they played a game. They said, the first impression that Winjin had of Rachel, they asked. They said, was she funny? Was she bubbly? Was she adventurous? And he guessed she was bubbly. And then the guess was he a bodybuilder? Now look, like you can see how tall this man is versus me, right? And was he a bodybuilder? So they were playing all these games. But you know what really struck me was their love story. It was a lot of it was prayer. And praying and trusting and God give us character. Verse 14, let her be the one whom you have appointed. I just don't want a pretty face, God. I want the one that you've appointed. I want the one that comes from you. It's funny how when we were about to leave, we were saying goodbye to Rachel. And just to tell you how, just to validate what you were saying about her kindness, she showed us what was under her gown was rubber shoes. I mean, she was working. She was trying to, she's doing the wedding, but she was actually working. I mean, it was fascinating just to see her. But you know what was amazing? It was the joy. Because when someone has character, that joy becomes very real. It's just there. Genesis chapter 24, verse 15, before he had finished speaking, this is his prayer, right? Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, this is what Abraham was telling him, was you're going to find this daughter from this lineage. How crazy is this? That means God had spoken to Abraham and God had gotten ahead. In other words, he had nothing to do with this. In fact, at this junction, this servant had no idea that this was already the girl. He's just praying. How crazy is this? Before he had finished speaking, Rebecca shows up. This is the girl, but he's not sure. Now we're reading this, but when this was actually happening, he had no idea this was already the girl right in front of him. Now notice what happens. The young woman was very attractive. So she's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, amen? So in those days, apparently, women are attractive, but they can carry 20 gallons of water or 200 gallons of water. Now, thinking about illustrating this, I thought about my friend. My friend, his name is Zetio. Z was a disciple. He lived here. He studied here. ACS, for those of you that like that school. Amen? Yeah. And Z was a disciple. He grew up in church. He went to Glasgow. He studied in Scotland for medicine. And he was a worship leader there, literally in a school that was anti-God. And he read his Bible, prayed, and sought God. And one day he came back to Singapore, and he was going back to one of the hospitals here. And as he went into the hospital to visit a friend, he saw a Rebecca, okay, a very attractive and beautiful girl. Okay? This is a true story. I asked his permission last night, Zeke, can I tell this story? Because he told this to me in confidence many years ago. And he said he saw this girl and started following her because she was just so attractive and pretty. He wasn't looking for a girl. He was just a solid, I want to live for God. I want to finish medicine. I want to go on with life, be a doctor. But for some reason, this beautiful girl shows up. And he starts following her. And it reminds me of this verse in 17. The servant ran to meet her. This is exactly what Z did. He ran to meet this girl and introduced himself. And basically, they became friends. And indeed, this girl is pretty. I mean, that's her. Right? Her name's Ivy. And Ivy and Z became friends. And they started courting each other. And for some reason, they started to like each other. And they started to exchange notes. But Ivy was... She's Filipina, okay? She's also a doctor, and you know how Filipinas are. They're very conservative. At least the ones I know, right? Okay? So this one was very conservative. And she refused to, you know, I can't date you, I don't know you, blah, 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 blah. But slowly, because Z was persistent, she had basically fallen in love. But because she was going back to the Philippines, she was going back to Glasgow, they're courting online, they're trying to make this thing happen. They weren't sure it was happening, but Z, being the man that he was praying, and seeking God. Interestingly, his parents didn't want him to marry this girl, which was a deal breaker. And backwards, some of you have been into this journey before. Her parents didn't want him to marry her. So, love affair didn't push through, but still in all, they continued with their relationship, emptying with each other, trying to fall in love with each other in distance. And all throughout that time, I remember this verse where it says, the man gazed at her in silence. Everybody say, in silence. You know, when things are not happening, it's probably time to shut up and just wait. When Z was back here, he said to his parents, you know, I really, really, really love this girl and I want to marry her. So I'm not going to marry her for as long as you don't want me to marry her. But I plead with you, would you at least have dinner with her once? And so they set up the dinner and the parents came and Ivy came. This is my wife's smiling because she knows the story. And the parents have become friends of ours as well. And they agreed that no matter what happens, we're not going to agree to this match. Okay, they've already set the agreement. But no matter what happens, we're going to eat dinner, but no matter what happens, no one's going to agree to this. But Z, being prayerfully saying, God, if you want this to happen, you're going to make it happen. They get to the restaurant. She sits down, and the mom goes to the restroom. The dad talks to Ivy, and the next thing you know, 5 minutes later, the dad's in love with Ivy and wants the dad for Z to marry her. Are you following the story? Okay. God, if you will shut up and be silent for a while, God can move. Mother comes back and now is shocked that the father is laughing and all this celebrating. When they thought it was going to make it hard for him. Now all of a sudden they're partying. Long story made short, the two get married. But the point I'm trying to make you is pray but be discerning. Don't just move. If you're in a mission with God, you be trustworthy. You be prayerful, but you be discerning. 17 years later, Z and Ivy are married. Kids, parents love each other. They actually travel together these days. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask or imagine. If you will but be trustworthy, be prayerful, be discerning. Verse 22, when the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her arms. And then, basically, he's about to present her with gifts. He's about to step out in faith, believing that this is the woman. and said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Now he's asking her, he's trying to get a confirmation. Who are you? And then again, this guy takes it to the next level. Not only tell me whose daughter you are, do you happen to have some room in your house and can you take care where I can spend the night in? He's pushing the boundaries. She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder, the room to spend the night. His prayers were answered. The point is, be in faith. The work of mission, the work of propagating faith, the work of taking Abraham's little faith that's about to end with him, takes people that are willing to go forward with mission. The work of putting faith forward requires people that God can trust. People that seek God in prayer on a regular basis. People that can discern what God's doing for the moment. And most importantly, people who will believe that faith, that God is indeed behind this. I referenced the story of mission to a man, a little known man named Chinwe Sugihara. Chinwe Sugihara he's like this guy. He's nameless, faceless. Nobody knew who this guy was. In fact, some of you don't even know why is he bringing up this guy's story. Because this is a story of mission. Japan was on the verge of joining the Axis alliance with the Germans. And Chinwe Sugihara was sent to Europe to be one of the ambassadors, consulate, to watch over and monitor what was going on in Germany and Russia. He was a student, he was a young boy from Japan, and while he was growing up in 1912, he graduated with top honors from this elementary school. And his father wanted him to be a doctor, kind of like Z. But Chinwe deliberately failed the entrance exam by writing only his name on the exam papers. It's a true story. Interesting story, by the way. You can check this out later tonight. Instead, he entered the Waseda University in 1918 and majored in the English language. He fell in love with the languages. He eventually started learning how to speak Lithuanian and Russian, and that's why he was actually sent to Europe. What happened was when he went to this English school, he met a man named Harry Baxter Benioff, a Baptist pastor, and from Shintoism, he went into Christianity and learned about the love of God. 1 month before the Japanese were going to join the Nazis in an alliance, Chinwe did the unthinkable. Sugihara continued to handwrite visas, reportedly spending 18 to 20 hours a day on them, producing a normal month's worth of visas each day until September 4. When he had to leave his post before the consulate was closed, by that time he had granted thousands of visas to Jews, many of whom were heads of households and thus permitted to take their families with them. In other words, this man saved thousands of Jews before the Nazis could get them. On the right-hand side there, you see that nobody knew who this guy was. All these Jews were just wondering how they got saved, and many, many, many years later, when they started looking at these visas, his handwriting kept showing up, and they had to trace him. A faceless, ordinary, simple, trustworthy, prayerful, discerning man of faith that God had raised. The future of faith, folks, is not only in the hands of the few Abrahams. It's in the face of many people like you and me who will do the thing that needs to be done when it has to be done. It's a mission. Sugihara, when asked, himself wondered, because at this point he had issued thousands of visas and the government could have found out, but for some reason, God kept it under wraps. Wondered about official reaction, thousands of visas he issued, many years later recalled, no one ever said anything about it. I remember thinking that probably didn't realize how many I actually issued. A man with a mission. A man who was trustworthy. This is a picture when they found out about him. 1 year before he died, the Israeli ambassador in Japan celebrated this man's life. Nobody knew about him. The faceless, the messenger, the guy who just decided, I'm going with a mission from God. Finally, in Genesis 24, 26, 27, the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. When he heard that, man, how can this be? I come over here, I pray, I ask you to do this, and you open these doors, and how can this be? Bows his head, he worships God. God, you're truly the God who answers all my prayers. But you know, my favorite part about this is not even that. He says, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. Notice what he's saying. This is for Abraham. I'm being trustworthy, I'm fulfilling, I'm going the distance and completing what was I sent to do. He was not forsaken, his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. God, thank you for answering my master's prayer. But here's what he says. In verse 27b, he says, ask for me. Everybody say, ask for me. I'm just thankful that you used me. Ask for me, I'm just thankful. God bless them. That's Chewini spirit. So happy that all these Jews survived. But as for me, I'm just so thankful that you considered me worthy of mission, considered me worthy of being used. My final point is be thankful. Five key thoughts if you want to see the mission of God on this earth with faceless, ordinary people like you and me. Be trustworthy. That the thing that God's handing down to you is of great importance and value. Don't just be trustworthy, be prayerful. Seek God and acknowledge that apart from Him, no amount of mission or effort or energy will happen without Him. Be discerning. Don't just jump at the first open door. Don't just jump in doing what you need to do just because you want to do it. Be in faith that God is for you and not against you and will be with you. Be grateful and thankful that He's even counting you worthy of being in mission with Him. Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Just be still for a moment. Just be still for a moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He probably is telling you things. The journey of Abraham from beginning to end. The need for a team to go with him. For some of you, it's awakening the spirit of a missionary. And when I say missionary, I don't mean going to another nation. Just close your eyes. Just as Pastor Mark did it earlier, just be still for a while. As the verse says, be silent and discern. God is probably speaking to say, get serious. Be trustworthy. I want to entrust amazing truths to you. I want to entrust people to you. I want to entrust lives. I want to entrust generations to you. For some of you, it might be a moment to say, God, teach me how to pray, to seek you, to want to know you deeper. For some of you, it's probably just learning how to be discerning times and seasons and transitions in your own life. For some of you, my prayer is that your faith will grow and increase in ways that you've never seen before. And yet for others, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that you count me worthy of this great opportunity to be in co-mission with you, God. Father, seal this truth in each of our hearts. Be blessed and be glorified in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Please don't forget to pray for us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.